time for Dean Richards Entertainment Report, and no surprise about Jimmy Kimmel's Tuesday night ratings, even though, Dean, the show wasn't available in, what, 23% of the country?
Yeah, there are still ABC affiliate stations that are continuing boycotting the show and not putting it on the air. So even though that was the case, I think the real story here is people watching online, which is part of the problem with late night TV and regular television in general, that younger people are not watching conventional TV. They're watching things on their phones. They're watching things on their computers. They're watching YouTube. You know, it's a whole new world. But so while they said 6 million people watch the show on the air Tuesday night, 26 million people streamed the opening monologue, at least anyway, on YouTube and on social media, which was the show's highest rating for you know, digital viewing in over 10 years. So a big deal, but also I think you know, a big sign of what's coming for television. It's, you know, things are changing on television right now.
As far as Apple TV is concerned, there's at least one person protesting right now, Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, can we get people to stop protesting, you know, stuff on TV? It's just TV. Jessica Chastain is not happy with Apple TV's decision to delay the release of her new miniseries. It's called The Savant. I'm told that it follows a woman who infiltrates radical online groups in order to prevent violent political and public attacks. That's a description of the whole thing. Apple announced in their press release, after careful consideration, we've made the decision to postpone The Savant. They didn't really give any reasons other than that. So Jessica Chastain went on social media and said that while Apple has been a great collaborator and partner, she is not aligned on their decision on this. She said, while I wish the show wasn't so relevant, unfortunately it is. So, you know, this is the greatest publicity this show
could
possibly ever get.
No doubt.
They have not said when they eventually will put it on the air. Not that I think that they did this on purpose. Television, you know, platform would never do such a diabolical thing.
Never. Well, now that Law and Order has run out of American cities to feature, they're going to another country, aren't they?
Yeah, why not move up to Canada for a little while? They did L.A., and I don't know. There's like 7 or 8 different Law and Order shows that are on the air right now. It's one of the most successful franchises that there is. People love the Law and Order franchise. And now they're moving up to Toronto with the show Law and Order Toronto Criminal Intent. It debuted last night on the CW network. That is seen right here on good old WGN TV in the Chicago area. It stars Kathleen Monroe as Sergeant Detective Frankie Bateman. And I had a little chat with her the other day about her longtime connection to playing a cop.
It's honestly really special for me. I mean, like on a personal note, my grandfather was a homicide detective in Buffalo. My father was a lawyer, like that sort of like embodying that world on TV. And I think part of my fascination with the Dick Wolf world has come from that family connection. And so being able to kind of step in and embody this character in this iconic franchise, and to also, you know, expand it into a new country for the first time with original stories, it just feels like I mean, there's pressure, and there's excitement, and there's just like so much gratitude.
So is this shot in Toronto, or is it, you know, shot someplace else and made to look like Toronto?
No, it is so deeply Toronto. And I think that there's, I just said that like a not Toronto person. We say Toronto around here. We don't pronounce that other T.
Who knew that? I never knew that the if you want to sound like a local, you say Toronto.
I never heard that either.
That's a bakery here in Chicago, not a city.
Yeah.
But I guess we have our funny little ways. Law and Order Toronto, Criminal Intent, every Wednesday night at 7, right here on good old number 9.
And the CW. All right, we'll stay tuned for hockey crimes, apparently. Dean, I imagine that Benicio del Toro would be an easy interview, but Leonardo DiCaprio would be difficult.
Both of them very, very easy to talk to.
Oh, really?
Very nice.
Even Leo, huh?
I've been interviewing Leonardo DiCaprio pretty much since I've been doing this, and he's always very courteous, very polite, not difficult in any way. He's a little bit, maybe a little guarded, because people ask inappropriate and, you know, stupid questions. I understand that. But I have never had any problem whatsoever talking to either. Benicio del Toro, super nice, super welcoming and super friendly, but Leo, as I like to call him, trying to pretend like we're best friends, also very, very nice.
That's good to hear.
They have a new movie that is going to be opening tomorrow that I am going to rave about when I review. I loved this movie that is directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, called One Battle After Another. It's about this one-time revolutionary, kind of goes off the grid. His daughter is kidnapped, and he reluctantly goes back on the grid to try to find his daughter. Sean Penn is in the movie. Now, he's a little difficult to talk to. You want to talk about people? he doesn't offer any easy answers to anything.
So I've heard.
Regina Hall is in it. Tiana Taylor is in it. And this 21-year-old Columbia College alum, whose name is Chase Infinity, her first movie ever, and she is phenomenal in this movie. But anyway, back to Leo and Benicio. When I talk to them about the movie and their early careers, they give all the credit to the director, Paul Thomas Anderson, or as you know, as they call him, PTA.
Well, I think the attraction for both of us was just to be able to work with Paul. I mean, he's such a visionary. He's a generational director, but I know I love being a part of movies that have just a tremendous amount of thought put into it, that are robust and multi-layered and have different character facets. And ironically, I think he's been thinking about this movie for 20 years now. And the fact that it's coming out in the day and age that it is, with the sort of political discourse, the idea of extremism on both ends, it's just ironic that it's landing at this spot. But at the heart of it, he deals with all these issues with a great amount of irony and satire, action, and comedy too.
Benicio, what's the PTA attraction for you?
Well, I mean, he is one of a kind, and I think he really includes the actor. Even though he's a writer director, he really includes the actor in taking control of your own character.
I think the first movie that we talked was Gilbert Grape. It's been that long ago.
Amazing.
I was just thinking about when was the first time I talked to you. And I was reflecting on your career. Do you do that, or is this just a continuous roller coaster ride for you? Do you look back nostalgic on early projects and things like that?
I definitely get nostalgic about early projects. It's always the first one, you know, the first one being immersed in, you know, coming from commercials, television, and then you get that role, right? And you're on set, and there's a whole different level of seriousness, quietness, concentration. And I got to do my first movie with Michael Caton Jones and Ellen Barkin and Robert De Niro in This Boy's Life. And just being able to watch Mr. De Niro on set and the focus that he had, his ability to improvise, be in the moment, I was like profoundly, profoundly affected by that. But as far as looking back on my whole career, no, I think it's something I rarely do. I think I may catch a movie of mine here or there, but I want to keep going, you know.
That's an amazing career he's had when you think about all the early stuff that he did, and especially that Gilbert Grape movie that was phenomenal. The new movie is called One Battle After Another. It opens tomorrow. See it on as big a screen as you possibly can. I will rave about it like crazy when I review it tomorrow.
Look forward to that. And finally, they didn't win, but we're proud of Leo High, aren't we?
Yeah, kind of a surprise that they wound up coming in fourth place on the show. Everybody thought they were going to be surefire winners. This is what happened on America's Got Talent last night. Yeah, Leo High School Choir, even the judges, when they announced this, looked pretty stunned. But this was, decided by a public vote. And they instead chose Jessica Sanchez, who competed while pregnant with her first child. Cardinal Supich issued a statement last night saying, "Leo Catholic High School Choir, you made us proud beyond measure. Keep singing, leading, and believing God's not done with you."
What, no message from the Pope? Come on.
Come on. Come on. You're from Dalton. Come on. You're miles away from Leo High School in Dalton.
Stand by. Maybe we'll hear today. Thank you, Dean.
See you.